Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3 and 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be both glory now and forever. Amen." Well, once again, we are honored with your presence. Have such a fantastic number here. Glad that you are present as we begin this morning a series which, if the good Lord wills, will carry us through the month of November, as this entire month we'll be looking at three different areas of spiritual growth. But before we do that, I would like to extend a warm invitation to you back tonight as we will look at Psalm 103, number 103, one of my favorite psalms in that massive collection of poetry in the Old Testament. We'll look at Psalm 103 tonight at 5:30. So like I just mentioned, this morning we're going to talk about spiritual growth and how it is a choice of ours. And in fact, for all three of these lessons, we're going to use 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 kind of as our launching pad, our scripture text, if you will, because we see that we are told to grow. That is what we are told to do in as Christians. But first, we need to be a Christian before we can grow as a Christian. So you have to obey Christ, put Him on in baptism, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And so we see that it is a command of God, but grow in the grace and the knowledge. Now here's the problem. Sadly, not all Christians are growing spiritually. They're just not. Many Christians have been Christians for years with little to no improvement. They are no more, sometimes they may appear less useful to the Lord than when they obey the gospel, because they're failing to grow. They're becoming stagnant, like a stagnant pool of water. That's never good. We're never supposed to be satisfied, if you will, with the knowledge that we have in Christ. We should never be satisfied with how much we know, because we can continue to grow in knowledge. We can continue to grow in grace. Now, why is spiritual growth a choice? Why are we even talking about that this morning? Because it doesn't happen by default. What do I mean? Well, by default, unless something is not right, people grow. A newborn baby becomes a toddler, becomes a little person, a medium person, then a big person, right? That's kind of how that, you just naturally grow, whether you want to or not. But spiritual growth, like emotional maturity, occurs only when we make a choice that we're going to grow. So if we don't make the choice and we don't stick to it, then there won't be any spiritual growth. So this morning, I want us to study about spiritual growth and how it is a choice in four simple areas. So number one, spiritual growth is a choice that is commanded by God. Spiritual growth is a choice that's commanded by God. I know where you're going now. You're going to say, but wait, Justin, if it's a command, then how is it my choice? Because people choose to disobey commands all the time. But God has told us to grow. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, what we call the Great Commission. One of the last things our Lord and Savior said, for He ascended from this earth, went up to heaven. Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, that's the apostles, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." And then Matthew adds, "Amen." This is a command because Jesus said, go out and teach and baptize and make disciples. And it's implicit when He says to teach that those that are teaching also need to be growing, because they need to have at least a little bit more knowledge than the one they're teaching, or else they can't really teach them anything. So Jesus Christ says, go out and teach, and you should be growing as well as you're trying to teach others. But it's commanded because the apostle said it. Notice He said that I will, whatever you have bound on earth, He says elsewhere, I will bind in heaven. Second Peter. Peter, what did he write? We just read it. 2 Peter 3:18. Go back there. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge. And is a conjunction. And joins the two together. So we can't just grow in grace and not in knowledge, or in knowledge but not in grace. He says you have to do both of them. But let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Because when Peter writes the second time around, we're blessed with two works from him. But when he writes the second time around, he's more addressing the church, if you will. He's addressing the challenges that come from within. First Peter, he addresses the challenges that come from without the church. Second Peter's within. That may be apostasy or false teachers. So notice he says in verse 5, and beside all this, giving all diligence. Notice how attentive you need to be. He says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, then they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says in verse 5. He says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Peter doesn't say go out and get faith. He's writing to people who already have an active faith. So he says once you have it, you keep growing. And when you keep growing, you're showing growth. He says you shouldn't be content with just faith, but you need virtue and patience, and you need to keep going. And we see that Christians who do not grow are sternly rebuked. It's a choice, but if we choose not to, then we suffer the consequences. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5, if you wouldn't mind. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Hebrews 5 and 12. For in the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith to obedience. What is the Hebrew writer saying? He says there is a problem to the people he's addressing because they ought to be teachers. They need to be on the meat, but they're still on milk. He says they're still on the first principles. What are first principles? That's the basic things. Jesus is, in fact, the divine, the Son of God. How to be saved. The basic work of the church. The basic work of Christian. Those are first principles. And it's never bad to go back over them. In fact, it's very helpful. But Paul, or whoever wrote the Hebrew writer, whether you think it's Paul or Luke, I think the Holy Spirit wrote it, and that's good enough for me. But the Holy Spirit writer says, you need to be moving on. But you haven't, and so they are sternly rebuked. I don't want to be sternly rebuked, which means that I need to move on from the milk, and I need to get deep in there, deep in the Word, get into the meat. So first off, spiritual growth is a choice that God has commanded. But secondly, we see that spiritual growth is a choice that requires diligent effort. It requires diligent effort. I've said it before, I'll say it again. This is unlike physical growth. You really don't have to try that hard to physically grow unless something else is at play here. You just don't. You mature, you grow up. We mature physically whether we want to or not. Sometimes we wish people would stay maybe little. Sometimes we wish little people who are immature would go ahead and grow up and get out of that stage. But we have no say over that because you grow on your own. But don't think just because you grow older physically that you're growing older spiritually. Because the two are different things. You may be growing older physically, but not growing spiritually. And that's why it's a problem. And we see that spiritual growth is a concentrated effort. Let's go to the book of John now. John chapter 6 and verse 24. Give me John 6, 27. John chapter 6 and verse 27. Jesus says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." What does Jesus say? Some things require work. Some things require labor. He says, don't be working for the things that will perish, but your spiritual knowledge doesn't perish. Your knowledge of the Word of God and everything that He has commanded for us to do does not perish, but you start studying it, and then you start getting deeper, and you see how it's connected, and one thing connects to another, and this is a reference to that, and you see how much all it plays together. Jesus Christ says it takes work on our part. Let's look in Philippians now. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul wrote that it requires work. We need to press on. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but how much more, now much more in my absence, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, Paul does not say, whatever you think will save you, just go along with that, as some people in the religious quote-unquote world see it. But when Paul says to work out your own salvation, you have to read the book, and you have to do it for yourself. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me, and Paul couldn't have done it for those at Philippi, although he would have wanted to probably. We have to do it on our own. But if you're with me in chapter 2, let's go to chapter 3 of Philippians. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." There's a great lesson to be learned, which we don't have the time to go into it fully here from the life of Paul. But Paul says, "I forget those things that have passed." Think about the past life of Paul when he was Saul. He says, "I have moved on from that." He says, "I'm pressing forward." Paul says, "I've done a lot of things that I'm not proud of. I thought I was doing right when I did them, but I wasn't." But Paul says, "I press forward." And brethren, we need to press forward as well. We've already looked at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. If you add to that verse 10, he keeps mentioning, "Do all diligence, add this to this, to this, to this." But we see it's like physical health that requires exercise. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise rather, or thyself rather, unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." If we want our physical bodies to get stronger, we usually exercise them at least a little bit. Some people go gung-ho with it. If that's your thing, congratulations to you. But if we want to keep our physical body working, we need to make sure it's functioning right and exercise it and keep it healthy. So how much more than our spiritual health? We need to exercise that by studying, by participating in worship. The list goes on and on. Brethren, spiritual growth is not always easy. In fact, we must work at it today, and then we need to work at it again tomorrow. We need to work at it always. It's not just a once and done kind of thing. So spiritual growth, it requires our effort. But thirdly, this morning, we see spiritual growth is a choice that is assisted by God. Spiritual growth is a choice that is assisted by God, because we're not 100% alone in our efforts. We're just not. Let's go back to Philippians. We'll spend some time in Philippians and then in Ephesians. Philippians chapter 2. We've already read verse 12, but we'll read that again in verse 13. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." When we work out our salvation, God is at work in us. It's what the Bible says. Let's go to Philippians 1 and 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that which He hath begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God desires to complete the good work that was started in us when we obeyed the gospel. Now, he says he's going to finish that. It's very encouraging for us to realize that we are not alone, spiritually speaking. Yes, we have this great group of brothers and sisters in Christ that we meet here on Sundays and Wednesdays, and we have faithful brothers and sisters up the road and in the next town and next county and next state. We have them all over the world, but if we're obedient, God's right there with us. If we're disobedient, God doesn't move. We happen to be the one that has moved. But there's great confidence. There's great hope in that. We see that we're strengthened by God in our efforts. Let's look now in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. He strengthens us in the inner man. That's chapter 2. Chapter 3, that's much better. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So God's spirit works on us. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, watch this, that works in us. We have this unimaginable power. Now let's go to chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What's one of the ways that we fight? With the armor of God. God has provided that armor. And brethren, there is no excuse for us not to grow. Why? Probably one of the most quoted verses in the entire Bible is in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. You know the passage. For I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We know that verse, and we see it plastered on bumper stickers and bracelets and t-shirts and signs, and that's great. But we need to realize that since we get strength from God, that means there's no real excuse for us to not grow spiritually, since God helps us with that, because God is the one that gives us the strength. Did you follow that? God gives us the strength. We have no excuse to not grow. It is assisted by God. And when you start studying, you'll realize more things. You may have more power than you thought. Let's finally look now at number 4. We see that spiritual growth is a choice that is blessed by God. It is blessed by God. Not only is it assisted, but it is blessed. These blessings begin here in this life. Once again, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we grow, we experience the blessings of the grace in which we stand. The more you study, the more you grow spiritually, the more you realize just how important it was that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Do you understand that when you obey the gospel? Yes, you have to in order to obey the gospel. But do you understand everything completely right then? No. It's physically impossible to. But you start there and then you grow. And then you read passages like Isaiah 53, Isaiah 55, other passages in the Old Testament, for instance, and you realize just what it meant for Jesus to even be on this earth, and then let alone to die for us. You read all these Psalms, all these other passages in the Old Testament that reference Christ. You read what he did and how he fulfilled them. And then you realize, well, I am a lucky person because he died for me. We also need to rejoice in our hope. Let's look in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Are you rejoicing in that hope? If not, brethren, you ought to be. But if we go back again to 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge, we grow and we experience the blessings of adding to your faith virtue and the virtue knowledge. That's two different passages by inspired writers in the Bible Well, the entire Bible is inspired, but two different passages that show we need to have knowledge. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and see how important it is that we have all of this. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Is that where I want? Yes. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, here's that word again, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why is it important that we grow? Why is it important that we add one to two to three to keep going? He says, because you can make your calling and your election sure. You can live confidently. He says, you do these things, you'll never fall. Does that mean we'll never make mistakes? No, we make mistakes, but you'll never fall off. You'll never just completely stop. Why? Because you have it ingrained in you to keep going until you cross that finished line. Brethren, we have an abundant life that Jesus Christ promised in John chapter 10 and verse 10. We have that when we have good spiritual growth. And we see that the blessings, they continue. If you're with me in 2 Peter chapter verse 11, look at that again. It says, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice the entrance there. It shall be ministered to you abundantly. Have many options to be faithful to God. But I do want us to look at a passage in Revelation, because in one way or another, the works that we do here on this earth, they follow us. Some people like to think, well, there was a period in my life where they're just going to ignore and not think about. No. Our works, both good and bad, follow us. We know that from Ecclesiastes 12:14. But looking here in Revelation 14 and verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. You think nobody cares? You think nobody notes that you're growing spiritually? Oh, the Lord does. And here Revelation 14 teaches us that we're rewarded for that at the end. Why? Because we can have rest from our labors, our good works. They follow us. But one more passage I want us to look at is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. A perfect way to sum up a beautiful passage talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Talking about what the gospel truly is, which is a death, burial, resurrection. Talks about what happens at the end, starting about verse 50. But look at verse 58. Therefore. Well, what does that mean? Well, you need to see what that word is, therefore. It is summing up everything. Paul has just said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, be ye unmovable, be ye always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You ever worked on a project and you just worked and worked and worked, and then you get to the end and you did it all wrong and you have to start over again and hope you can do it right the second time? Paul says that's not the way with the Lord. You're working for Him, whether it's being a faithful Christian, attending worship, growing spiritually. Maybe you're taking somebody to a doctor's appointment or whatever the case may be, and you're doing it for Christ. He says, your labor is not in vain. We need to realize that spiritual growth is a choice, and it's a choice that is blessed by God. We've been talking about growth, but not just any growth. Because not all growth is good. For instance, the hearts of some people grow dull. The love of many people grows cold. There is danger of growing weary in well-doing. We don't need to do that. There's a possibility of growing corrupt according to deceitful hearts, deceitful lust. There's a danger of growing wanton in Christ. There are those who grow worse and worse, being more and more deceived, as Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. And like sometimes cancerous cells, wrong growth can be deadly. But we've been talking about spiritual growth. First and foremost, it is a command by God, but grow in the grace and knowledge. But it also requires diligent effort on our part. We see it is assisted by God, and it is blessed by God, and it's the kind of growth that Peter mentioned as he closes his second epistle. My question for you is, what kind of growth is taking place in your own spiritual life right this moment? Is it the deadly kind of growth, creating dull hearts, love that is cold, weariness and well-doing, even moral corruption? I hope you're not growing that way. Or is it the vibrant kind of growth in which we're abounding in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Against such there is no law. Being faithful and fruitful in our service to the Lord, that's where we need to be. The kind of growth that one is often, whether we want to or not, it is your choice. I know I want to grow. Do you? We should never be complacent. We should always be moving forward. What if you say, well, I've never started my journey as a Christian? Well, you have a perfect opportunity to do that this morning. You have to hear the gospel. You have to believe that it's true. Repent of your sins. Make that public confession. Then you're baptized. Go on that water grave. Come up a new creature alive in Christ. Then you start your spiritual journey. And then you keep growing leaps and bounds. If you've not obeyed the gospel, why not do so this very morning? If you have, though, we encourage you to keep going. Keep remaining faithful in death. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge. Peter doesn't say until you've reached this. Peter says to continue to do so. If you've stopped, maybe you're growing the wrong way. Maybe sin has just entered life, separated you and God. Why not come back this very morning, repent of your sins, and leave in a right relationship with God? If we can help you in any way at all, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.